in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Get him the heck up. Get him going. It's Friday on B&E. That is right, 10 March, and a lot to do. Basketball abound. The madness of March is certainly here. Big 12 tournament in full effect now. Longhorns have played their way to the semifinals. They have locked up a number two overall national seed last night. We'll certainly talk about the smothering of Oklahoma State. Texas women begin play in the Big 12 women's tournament today. Tournaments all over the country. And, of course, Sunday, the brackets are revealed. The field of 68 is set, and we are all over at Longhorns looking pretty good in both regards, men and women. All the Texas sports for the weekend, Texas baseball, softball, everything happening on the 40 acres. We'll preview with the NFL. A lot of news there with the free agency and free agency looming next week. Handed out their compensatory picks yesterday. We've got all kinds of news notes and nuggets to come from the National Football League. Bad news on Kevin Durant's situation in the NBA. Got golf at the Players Championship, so safe to say 4 hours will not be nearly enough for us to start your Friday morning. Appreciate you being there, however you do it. Maybe on 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, as well as AM 1260. And then digitally, make it as easy as we possibly can. You can take us wherever you go. Just download that Horn app to your smartphone. Listen to us wherever you are, where you can get the internet. Also, always listen on your smart speaker. Just tell that speaker, hey, turn on 104.9 The Horn. And then, of course, always streaming live on our Twitch channel and in full, robust audio right there at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. It's going to be a lovely day today. Maybe a little rain shower here and there, but really, really nice tomorrow.
Yeah, some overnight showers last night in some of the quadrant/regions of the country. But
cooler temperatures, but sunshine after today, which is nice.
It is nice. It's a little cooler this morning for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Not as humid as it's been for the week. But, yeah, it could be some rain showers through your morning commute today as you get it up and out. And then should be lovely by this afternoon for sure. And as you said, maybe a chance for rain this weekend. But cooler temperatures into the weekend. And, man, it's already the second weekend of March. We're March 10th. We've got, man, so much going on. The madness of March is here, certainly. The NFL free agency period next week. So a lot of reporting will be done over the weekend of who's going to trend where and the Aaron Rodgers story, Lamar Jackson story. And, of course, next week locally, Buck, you know, the rodeo's up and running out at Expo Center, South by Southwest. Gets cranked up next week, the Interactive Fest. So the Austin area is going to be buzzing.
Oh, yeah.
Buzzing, to say the least.
Couple weeks into NASCAR.
Yeah, man, NASCAR and Dell Match Play around the corner. So busy Friday to get you going. And how are you doing? You ready to roll?
I'm doing great. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to get to some basketball, ready to get to some golf, of course, as the Masters approaches us. MotoGP just around the corner.
Yeah, man.
Love me some MotoGP.
Yeah, safe to say. And Longhorns looking good last night.
They D'd him up pretty well.
Took advantage of an offensively challenged and banged up Oklahoma State team. But we'll talk about why that's such a big win here coming up. Let's get to the headlines. Trending topics for the Longhorns as we crank this thing on a Friday. UBO Business Services brings you the news you need to know. College basketball, impressive win for the 7th-ranked Texas Longhorns last night as they advanced to the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament with a 61-47 smothering of the 7th seed, Oklahoma State. That sets up a meeting for tonight with TCU in Kansas City. Longhorns locked in defensively from the jump. Holds the Cowboys to 47 points on the night. 5 Longhorns scored in double figures, led by Jabari Rice with 15. Dylan Dessou, playing great down low, posted a triple-double, 11 points and 11 rebounds for Rodney Terry.
Dessou's been playing great for us down the stretch. You know, he really has. You know, he was rebounding the ball at a very high clip today, and rebounding was a big emphasis in this game here. because Oklahoma State's really big up front, and they really crashed the board really hard. I thought he did a nice job for us in the first half and had some really tough rebounds in the second half as well. But, he needed to get some extended minutes. We knew Brock was going to have to play quite a bit as well. And CB, this is one of the biggest front lines in the Big 12.
Third win for the Longhorns over Oklahoma State this season. Their 12th Quadrant 1 win on the year. That's the most by any team other than Kansas, and likely secures a number 2 overall national seed for the Longhorns when the brackets are finalized on Sunday. First things first, Texas and TCU will meet tonight in a semifinal matchup. That's after the 6th-seeded Horned Frogs upset 3rd-seeded K-State last night, 80-67 behind 22 from Mike Miles Jr. Top-seeded Kansas will face Iowa State in the other semifinal. That one tips at 6 o'clock. Then it's the Horns and Horned Frogs at 8:30 tonight. You'll hear it live here, of course, on the Horn. Top-seeded Texas women open play at the Big 12 Women's Tournament this afternoon in Kansas City, facing Kansas State in quarterfinal action. Horns just walloped the Wildcats in their regular season finale back on Saturday. I'm trying to do it again. Game tips at 1:30 today. You can hear that over on 105.3 The Bad. One other note from Kansas City. Kansas basketball coach Bill Self will miss the rest of the Big 12 tournament from what the program has announced as a standard health issue. Top assistant Norm Roberts has stepped in his place. Texas football welcomed representatives from 32 NFL teams to campus yesterday. Everybody was represented. It was pro timing day in the indoor bubble. 10 former Longhorn players there to meet with teams and go through physical testing, complete individual drills. In addition to 4 of the 5 who attended the NFL scouting combine this past weekend, 5 other Longhorns took advantage of the opportunity. Jaleel Billingsley, Daniel Trejo, Anthony Cook, Deshaun Jameson, Tariq Milton all worked out yesterday. The top-rated Longhorn prospect Bijan Robinson was on hand to support his mates and meet with team reps, but did not go through the workouts. Current Longhorns with the field again this morning. Spring practice number 3 will wrap up week 1 of the 6 weeks of training ahead of the Orange-White scrimmage on April 15th. Also on the 40 acres this weekend, busy one. Longhorn baseball open a 3-game series with Manhattan tonight at the Dish. Game 1 set for 6:30 tonight. Texas softball will host the Bevo Classic starting this morning at McCombs Field, featuring the 10th-ranked Longhorns, 9th-ranked Alabama, Wisconsin, and Texas State as well. Tough news yesterday from the NBA. Word from Phoenix that Kevin Durant will be out 2 to 3 weeks because of a left ankle injury suffered in pregame warmups back on Wednesday. And in golf, little-known Chad Ramey is your leader after the first round of the Players' Championship at Ponte Vedra Beach. He fired an 8-under-64 yesterday on the tournament course at Sawgrass, one stroke better than Colin Morikawa.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right. Busy Friday morning. Here we go. How about the Longhorns last night, Buck? They carried that defensive effort that they had against Kansas on Saturday right into the Big 12 tournament and smothered Oklahoma State last night, who were playing without their top playmaker, Avery Anderson. He's out with a wrist injury. We knew that going in, and Texas just locked them up. Got enough on offense because, you know, Oak State was trying to ugly that game up and try to win with their defense. As you heard Rodney Terry talking about their size on the front line. Horns did play without Timmy Allen last night. Timmy Allen was a late scratch because of what they're calling a minor ankle sprain. So Timmy got out, and Jabari Rice got the start, and the Longhorns get a victory.
Yeah, I thought that opened up the middle a little bit more because Timmy plays in the middle of the paint. And for Dylan DeSue, I thought over the last 6 games, that guy's been pretty offensive-minded. I mean, that's not to say he hasn't played decent defense or got lots of rebounds. He's done a lot of rebounding. But offensively, that opens up the middle for him because he's not the swiftest guy when he gets in the middle, so he needs some bouncing and movement areas. And I think with Timmy not in there, I think it opened up the middle a little bit for Dylan DeSue offensively for his little jump hook and stuff like that. I thought he played well again, kind of all around. As I said, he's not the smoothest guy when he's in there, but, man, he's got enough – shoulder strength and that upper body stuff to either get fouled or get to the rim. And he rebounds the hell out of the ball, too. And I thought they played smothering defense. I thought they contested a lot of shots last night. Marcus Carr, he just not getting any elevation on his jumper. I mean, that ball is clanking off the rim. His legs look like – he looks like he's tired.
Well, that's been
on the offensive end.
Yeah, that's been about 2 weeks now for him where it feels
tired.
Like he's not getting much oomph on his it wasn't a pretty game. Oomph on his jump shot. Oklahoma State only made 14 of their 52 shots they took last night. Texas was 19 of 51. But, I thought the quick start was great. It was, Tyrese Hunter came out gunning. He looks like he's good. And that's the thing, right? I mean, Tyrese Hunter now, he says he's fully healthy now and maybe through some of his slumps of January and into February that he wasn't 100% healthy but was gritting it out. Now he looks like he's healthy, and he and Jabari Rice are really working well together.
And as you said, with Marcus Carr, played 40 minutes last night, but another 2-for-10 night from the field, scored 11 points. They need to.
And most of those were. How many from the free? Would he only have one jump? Would he have one only, field goal?
He had 2-for-10 from the field goal, but he went to the foul line 9 times. That's the one thing I think.
As his you body, said, he'll take you to the rim now.
Well, and he misses a lot of those little floaters these days, where he does that little stop in the lane. He's been so good at that in his time here at Texas, but that's just not rolling in for him.
He's
right
getting
now.
Up like me.
Yeah, and so his shooting percentage the last 4 games, I have to look that up. It's not good at all. But yeah, that's late in the season legs. But look,
and the freshman came in and hit a couple jumpers.
Yeah, Arterial Morris.
Morris. Yeah, he took a couple threes.
I agree with you. With Timmy Allen out, it kind of opened some things up and got Arterio into the game sooner. Front line did a nice job. It was an ugly basketball game. Let's be honest. A lot of turnovers, 33. Not a lot of made shots. But in the end, it was a double-digit win for the Longhorns. And as I said in the update, I think for most people, this secures the Longhorns on the 2 line when we get to brackets. I mean, that's 12 quad 1 wins. Only Kansas has more. I mean, their resume is complete. Now, they'll play TCU tonight and to get to the championship round. But again, I still think getting to a 1 seed for Texas is kind of an outside shot at this point, because I believe the committee's, these tournaments don't mean a ton. They think they go more and more on the regular season these days over the last couple of brackets. And what you just said about Marcus Carr, Timmy Allen with an ankle, I'm not saying the Longhorns should lose tonight, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if they took their 9th loss and got home on a Friday night and had all week to get off their feet a little bit and get ready for the first round of the NCAA tournament. But, you're playing for a championship. Competitors
you want
to
keep
compete.
You want to keep that the move that you're having right now, keep it going in the right direction no matter what. I know you want to get some rest.
Sure.
But guys want to stay in the flow of the game.
Yeah, and I remember, talking to Rick Barnes about that back in the day, kind of offline, and just, it's like one of those things, you want to keep going, then you end up playing 3 games in 3 days, and, you look up and your team's a little bit worn out, and especially in this conference after what you went through for 2 months, and, the biggest games are next week. The biggest and most important games of your season, no matter what you say, are coming up. So you want to be at full strength there, and if you've already locked up one of the top, 8 spots and one of those 2 seed spots, last night was a nice win to secure that.
But you sure would love to play Kansas even another time for a tournament championship.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, I think so. But again, my mindset, and I know people will criticize me for this, my mindset is the biggest games are next week and the following week. And the following week, you've already proven you can beat Kansas. You've already proven you're a really good team. These tournaments are for television and revenue, and I get it. But at the same time, they hand out a trophy. I know it's a championship, but, man, you can wear yourself out. And you need to get Marcus Carr back shooting the basketball well if you're going to go as far as your ceiling. You need to get Timmy Allen 100% healthy. And but again, they're competitors. They'll show up. I don't know.
You got some young guys you can really give an opportunity to play.
And look, TCU, they're dealing with the issue with their head coach and Jamie Dixon, the Eddie Lampkin situation that we talked about yesterday. They went out and beat up on Kansas State. And Mike Miles, Texas and TCU are 2 of the oldest teams in all of college basketball, with veteran players and, 5th and 6th year guys across the board.
Need a little break.
This will be a fun band. And K-State and TCU is pretty damn good. Pretty damn good basketball team. Of course, they split the home and home this year.
The only thing I'd like to see Dylan Dessou continue to play that offense that he's trying to get going right now.
He's aggressive.
He's aggressive when there's nobody in the middle with him. Because he likes to, he likes that couple bounces, get his shoulders on somebody, and I like the way he's playing offensively.
Hey, I agree with you. It just feels like he's playing confident, and which leads to aggressiveness, which leads to, he's not just getting, I think there was a point here in February where he said, I'm not just going to be a rebounder. I'm going to start trying to, I can score the basketball. Remember the game up at Baylor where they lost in Waco and he scored 24 points
That's
and
right.
He was knocking down threes. It was really like, that was the game where he said, I can score.
Doing that early in the game, too.
Yeah, we need more scoring punch. We need more than just our guards scoring the basketball. And, I think it's led to, him seeing the ball go in the hoop has helped him gain confidence in all phases of his game.
And they get the ball into him now.
He
demands the ball. He wants the ball.
It's like anything else. Once your teammates see you're making shots, and they'll give you the ball. And, he's, as you said, he's not the smoothest player. He's a little bit awkward with his game. He walks with the duck feet kind of thing, but
he
is a hard working dude. He's a tough guy.
He'll get on the ground too. He'll get on the floor for balls.
Yeah, absolutely. This says, hey, Austin Airport is nuts this morning, guys.
Uh-oh.
Hook 'em. Looks like a lot of Longhorns are going to make the trip up to Kansas City to support the Horns. Cause you can go see the men and the women. Women play at 1:30 today. Men will play at 8:30 tonight. That's a pretty good schedule. You can see a game in the middle of the day, go grab some dinner and still
be. Or was this the South by Southwest crowd coming in too?
Coming in and going out. That says you play to win the game. Yes. Well, you also play the whole season to get to the tournament. And when you get to the tournament, you want to be playing your best. That's why I'm saying I've talked to Rick Barnes about that and other coaches where, it's a tough spot for a coach. You don't want to downplay a game in the championship. But at the same time, you play the whole season. You do everything for next week. Everything's built around next week. And you've already, because the regular season is important. To put the hang a banner in your rafters because you won the Big 12 regular season is a huge deal. Kansas won that. And Texas women won one. But for me, these tournaments, you know me, we've been doing this a long time, Buck. They don't mean a lot. I know it's for automatic bids for the smaller conferences, but in the bigger conferences, they're for TV, and they're made for TV, and I get it. You play to win the game, but you also are playing for next week. So if they lose tonight, they're going to be a 2-seed. They get an extra night of rest, and they don't have to play the game against Kansas on Saturday. It's one of those, I think it's a catch-22 conversation. But we'll be watching tonight, 8:30, Texas and TCU. Also, last night around the country, Buck, you saw North Carolina take a tough loss. Are they going to make it in?
For them.
Are they going to get in? Bubble might have burst for the remember, this was a team in North Carolina that began the season number one in some preseason polls.
They have one quad one win, and they got it against Virginia like in the last three games.
And they've been put on notice about how their efforts have been for like the last 4 weeks. They need to win some big games.
How do you
and
go from number one preseason to out? Not in the top 70, one quad one win. Incredible with that one. Marquette got a big win in overtime for Shaka Smart. I just know when we get to the bracket Sunday, and that's a good time for a reminder, we're going to have a special bracket reveal show here on the Horn at 5 o'clock on Sunday. I'll be a part of it with Zay Collier. And are you coming in for this, Ty? You going to jump in here with us?
I might be calling in. I think Patrick Davis will be here.
Patrick Davis
though.
Will be here, and we're going to, as the bracket is revealed on CBS, we will follow it. And obviously, as soon as we know where the Longhorns go, we'll be able to talk about their draw, the matchup, and check in down on campus with Rodney Terry and the Longhorns, who will be waiting. Of course, the Texas women very well may be flying back from tournament if they make it to the championship game on the women's side. So we'll have that fully covered. That's 5 to 7 right here on the Horn on Sunday evening. So set your alarm and remind yourself while you're watching it revealed on CBS. You can listen to us and get Zay Collier and Patrick's thoughts, mine, on how the bracket lays out. But I'm just feeling that they're going to put the Longhorns in the same bracket as Marquette. Could you see that? I mean, that Texas could, and I've seen some mock brackets that are the bracketologists that already have the Longhorns in the same bracket with Marquette and Tennessee, where the Longhorns are the 2-seed, Marquette's the 3-seed, and like Tennessee's like the 4 or 5 for Rick Barnes. That wouldn't be unlike the NCAA to do it, but it would be kind of cool to see the Longhorns.
Well, they love the storylines anyway.
The storylines are good, man. TV, no doubt.
I'd take Shaka in the tournament.
I will take my chances with Shaka Smart in the tournament. That's not been his, well, since his Virginia Commonwealth days, it has not been his strong suit for sure. So there's some hoops. We'll certainly talk about it. Your thoughts on the Horns and where they stand. Rodney Terry getting it done. Longhorns with 24 regular season or wins now on the full season, 8 losses. They'll play TCU tonight. This says, I'm close to turning in my Texans fan card. We'll get into some NFL coming up. Yeah, the Texans got docked a draft pick yesterday, a 5th-round pick, for what they called a salary cap violation the league did. The Texans argue that. They think it was not a lot. But either way, Texans lost the second pick of the 5th round. That was rescinded by the league yesterday. But the NFL did announce their annual compensatory picks yesterday, where they hand out as kind of rewards. If you lose a key free agent, like a designated free agent, they'll get you a draft pick. Try to help fill the roster back. And then, the one of the incentives over the last half decade for the NFL has been to incentivize organizations to develop minority candidates who become coaches, right? Head coaches or general managers.
General managers, yeah.
And the San Francisco 49ers, before yesterday, were sitting with 4 draft picks. 4 draft picks in this draft in April, 48 days from today. They now have 11. They were awarded 7 compensatory picks yesterday, and 3 of them are in the 3rd round, which is at the end of the 3rd round, which is top 100 picks.
Wow.
And the reason for it is that they've developed coaching candidates, Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel, now D'Amico Ryans, Martin Mayhew's now the general manager of the Washington football team. Rand Carthon just got hired as the GM of the Tennessee Titans.
Also includes females moving up in your organization.
Yeah, the minority hiring push, but really just giving minorities an opportunity to rise within the front office and rise on your coaching staff. And clearly no one's done that better than Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and the 49ers, because they were awarded, like three third-round picks for their efforts. And, again, they've done a nice job there. So there, the Cowboys picked up three picks yesterday for free agents that they lost. Texans picked up. How about this? The Texans, remember they coughed up the number one overall pick?
Yep.
Now they own the last pick. They were awarded Mr. Irrelevant pick. Whether they draft, so the Houston Texans will get to draft the last player of the draft now. Pick number 260.
They find their Brock Purdy.
Maybe, yeah, because they're probably going to take a quarterback at the top. They could go and take another quarterback at the bottom if they needed to. So, yeah, NFL's out there. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers story continues to be of very much interest to a lot of folks. And that became a big topic yesterday, Buck, as I was listening and driving around and then watching yesterday. The New York Jets are under the microscope because they're chasing a almost 40-year-old quarterback, are going to give up draft capital to get him and give him a lot of money.
Well, that's the owner wants that instant gratification.
Well,
he wants that, and he wants that.
And then the question obviously doubles back to a conversation we've held all week. Should they instead be chasing Lamar Jackson and then, chase a 26-year-old quarterback who has his best years to come? That's an interesting debate, because some think it's nonsensical to chase a 39-year-old QB when you could have a 26-year-old quarterback at a similar price, by the way, as a year-by-year and for what you'd have to give up to get him.
They like headlines in New York, and any news is good news in New York, and Aaron Rodgers will give you a lot of headlines.
You don't think Lamar Jackson would bring headlines to New York City?
Well, I mean, I think he would with his play, but Aaron Rodgers brings you that weird New York-style kind of media hype, you know what I mean? He'll be there. He'll be fighting with the media. I mean, and plus he can win. I mean, I think Lamar can win regular season things. And he's a long-term guy. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is still just maybe a two-year player.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's the debate in New York, is why would you want a short-term guy for the same amount of money and capital? And, obviously the Lamar Jackson deal will be much longer than anything you do with Aaron Rodgers. But interesting debates, the quarterback carousel. And guess what? In our daily Days of Our Quarterback Lives conversation, there's a new quarterback to discuss. Because according to multiple reports today, teams have been calling the LA Rams about Matthew Stafford. Quarterback star of teams are now ringing up Sean McVay and Les Snead in LA and saying, hey, is Matthew Stafford on the block? Because there's a guy. Who was it? Michael Lombardi, the NFL reporter, former general manager in the league. He had a comment this week that Matt Stafford is fully available. Said it on the Pat McAfee Show Thursday.
Well, I'm Matthew Stafford. You're going to pay me my almost $60 million. I'm hanging around. I've got a Super Bowl. I've already pushed somebody off the stage. And you owe me $60 million?
Yeah.
Come on, man. What
do I need?
Do I need to play? Do I need to play, or do I need to collect that $60 million that you people owe me?
Golly,
plus I'm wearing a ring. Plus I tripped the lady off the stage. Come on. How much fun can you have?
You're brutal, man. Yesterday we're talking about the legendary Jim Boeheim. All you could talk about is him killing some guy in a terrible accident.
That was an accident. That was a terrible
accident.
That was a terrible accident.
Matt Stafford didn't
snow.
Push the lady off the stage. She fell off the stage. Now, he didn't help her when she went down.
He didn't run to her rescue.
He looked at his wife and said, you handle that. I got to go over here. But, yes.
They owe him some money.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that the quarterback star of team won't trade for him and pay him his money. But I think this is an interesting comment from Michael Lombardi, who's usually pretty damn tied into the NFL. Matt Stafford is fully available, he said yesterday. They would love to trade him. They can't easily do it because he's got $57 million guaranteed, but they're trying to get out from it. They've called teams. I know this. So, again, now would that indicate that, A, the Rams have won their Super Bowl and now they're trying to reboot? Or remember, what was the issue with Matt Stafford?
It tells me, A, that his shoulder is still not healthy.
Neck.
It's his neck now?
He has like a spinal injury.
Okay,
telling y'all.
That's what it tells me. It tells me he's not ready to throw the ball.
Or Baker Mayfield, trying to bring him back, moneymaker.
Baker, who finished up the season there. Well, look, they were proud last year when they were celebrating after winning the Super Bowl with the F them picks things, but they would love to have them picks right now because they're upside down on the cap. And they don't have any way to fill out the roster here. They're too expensive, and they don't have draft capital to bring in cheap labor, which is what the draft's all about. You look at the draft this year, number 6 overall is Detroit. That's their pick. That's the pick they gave up to get Matthew Stafford and use Jared Goff to help get it. They'd love to have that pick back, but you know they don't have it. So if they can recoup it with a Matthew Stafford-type trade, potentially. So we'll watch that now in the days of our quarterback lives. Remember, Monday is the day that the legal tampering period begins, and then the league year opens next Wednesday, and it'll be the flurry of activity of free agency and all that comes with it. So we will certainly be all over it right here on B&E.
He just looked different last year. I mean, when he was throwing the ball, his shoulder, arm, elbow, or whatever it was, he wasn't the same thrower.
No, he was not. Remember, they had him on a pitch count during camp. And
He never became the same.
And if you look at their cap and their roster, they got issues. I mean, they've got issues. They got really expensive players. Darren Donald, you know, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, a lot of expensive dudes, and then not a lot of cheap. Look, the NFL, this draft, when the 49ers pick up seven compensatory picks yesterday, that's a big deal. That's cheap labor. I mean, you're drafting young players to
And you get good players, right, to
build depth, and they're cheap. They're affordable. This next phase of free agency, when you start giving big contracts to guys, that's when you get expensive. Now, the 4-year rookie deals are pretty affordable. And as much of that as you can have to round out your roster and build depth around your star players is what the good teams are built on. But it's
well, you've got a coach. I mean, you've won a Super Bowl. You want to continue on that course while you have some of those players.
And
Aaron Donald and people like that are still around. This is about getting to the Super Bowl again
for them.
That's
the catch 22, right? I mean, you credit them because they went all in and they traded picks for Jalen Ramsey. They traded picks for Matt Stafford. They did traded picks for
and they won a Super Bowl. That's right.
They won a Super Bowl.
How long is the Super Bowl good for? With an organization?
5 years.
I would agree.
And I think
I wanted to say three, but I think you're right. 5 years. 5 years is long enough.
Listen, if you're Jerry Jones, 25 years would be the answer to that question.
No, lifetime.
Lifetime, but
still seeking that, you know.
But I mean that's what fans can answer that own question in their own head. But yeah, the Rams won a Super Bowl, but now there could be a few years of rough patches because you went all in. Not only did you trade for Matt Stafford, Jalen Ramsey, you also traded for Von Miller to just secure the deal, and you won it.
And you won it. You're right.
The tough part is if you do that and you don't win it, and you don't cash in on a championship. The Rams did, and so now they're going to have to rebuild. We'll see if Matt Stafford is a part of that reboot that's coming. I wouldn't call it a rebuild. I call it a reboot. And so what you need is draft picks.
Because you still have a Super Bowl coach.
Yeah, and you still have Aaron Donald, and you still have Cooper Kupp. And, so there are some things in place, but you got to reboot it, and that's going to be the conversation. Like the Packers are going to do, right? Packers have to, if they're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers and all the wins, but just won Super Bowl, they're going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that makes me feel good for my Minnesota Vikings. Aaron Rodgers leaving.
Yeah.
See ya.
We'll be back. We are just getting warmed up. Plenty of hoops, plenty of football, baseball. The weekend is here. Spring break here for a lot of folks around Central Texas, youngsters and the schools. That's a fun thing. Happy Friday on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Roll it out, no doubt. It's a weekend that is here, Friday into spring break, Friday into spring forward, too, Buck. Don't forget Sunday or morning, early Sunday morning, flip those clocks ahead.
I'm already sprung.
1 hour.
My watch is already sprung. I don't have to do anything to that watch. By the way, Garrett Wilson would be excited if Aaron Rodgers got to the Jets, I'll tell you that. Talking about a timing guy who runs timing routes. And loves balls that get to him in a hurry and get on him
from
in a hurry.
From an accurate thrower like Aaron Rodgers. I love the debate between, should the Jets be chasing Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers, because I think it's got arguments all over it. I mean, because everything you can say negative about Lamar Jackson, you can paint the negative about Aaron Rodgers, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Are they a Super Bowl team?
With who? With both?
Are they a Super Bowl team with a really good quarterback? Would they be considered a Super Bowl team? Would they be?
They're the Jets.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're right. I keep seeing people just say, "Who cares if they got Aaron Rodgers? They're still the Jets. That's who they are." But I'm thinking, long term.
They think they are, but Robert Saleh is an unproven coach. They've done okay
defensively.
I mean, their defense is excellent. Their defense is top five, and the draft pick of Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati last year really solidified. He's the best young corner in the league. And go with a really good front, and
we got the rookie of the year.
And Robert Saleh is a defensive coach. And then on offense, it's about youth, right? It's about they've done a really good job drafting. They've got an improving offensive line. Before his injury last year, Breece Hall, The running back out of Iowa State was looking like an all-rookie performer, was playing great. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Mitchell.
So they get the Ole Miss receiver they've got?
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore.
Yeah, if they get that all in place.
C.J. Uzomah is their tight end. I mean, they've got
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis is a nice third receiver.
You're going to find out if Robert Saleh is a Super Bowl type of coach more than anything.
They cut Braxton Berrios yesterday to clear up $5 million in cap space. So that could be an indicator that they're trying to
push
their money.
I mean, Woody Johnson's all in.
Yeah, he's all in.
I don't think there's any question about that. They're going after him.
And, he likes highlight. I mean, he likes guys like that. I mean,
well, he did the same thing with Brett Favre.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, these are media people. I mean, it's New York.
It's New York, and it's Woody Johnson, and he's a rich owner, and you know. But that's what leads to the debate. Is this a good? Because if he wants to
be in the paper more than the Giants,
then they're not a Super Bowl team. If the owner wants to be in the paper, if that's his goal, that's not a Super Bowl aspiration. And that's, you know, this is history repeating itself. If you go back to when they brought in Brett Favre, the report, I mean, after the fact, it's been shown that Eric Mangini, the coach at the time, didn't want that. He didn't want it, Brett Favre.
And this is just my thought, but who's to say that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't play for 5 more years or 6 more years? You know, if they win, I mean, I'm saying 2 years and done. I just know every year is going to be drama. Every single year at the end of the year, there's going to be, oh boy, here we go. How long have we got to wait?
I'll only say this, and who's to say? In the history of this sport, there's been one player you can talk about who's played well into his 40s at a high level. One. So you're
true.
I think you still have to go on the norm that Aaron Rodgers, maybe last year was the beginning of him
really
hitting the downside.
Yeah.
Much like Brett Favre. And, you know, maybe the holistic life he lives and all the stuff he does.
Maybe the shrooms.
Maybe the shrooms and the psychedelics. Maybe he plays well. But, I mean, look, Tom Brady is the absolute all-time outlier for someone who can play to that level deep into their 40s. You know, and that's why I say the debate about Lamar Jackson is a good one, because Lamar Jackson's 26.
Yes.
And, you know, for every negative you can say about Lamar Jackson, I can point out a positive. And it's not like Aaron Rodgers is an absolute sure thing at 39 years old. And that's, you know, that's an organizational debate. Look, I mean, people say that
yeah, Lamar hurts his knee. Aaron Rodgers hurts his thumb.
Well, and Lamar, you know, he led the NFL in touchdown passes just a few years ago. Threw more touchdown passes than any quarterback in the league. So to suggest he can't throw is a misnomer. Has he been injured? And when you talk about this year's injury for Lamar Jackson, he could have played this year, but he didn't because they didn't give him a contract. He wasn't going to risk a little bit of a bum knee come playoff time. So that could be a knock for him, but it could also be a knock to the organization if you didn't take care of your franchise quarterback. And when he was a little bit gimped up at the end of the season, he wasn't ready to go. I love these conversations because there's really strong arguments in on both sides of both of them, but it looks like the Jets are going after Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they just don't look like a team that's quite right no matter which quarterback plays, but I would rather go long-term.
Me too, but at the same time, I see Woody Johnson's going to make that decision. And when I say history repeating itself, Eric Mangini didn't want Brett Favre, the owner did, it didn't work out. And Eric Mangini got fired, by the way. If you really read the tea leaves, Robert Saleh really wanted Derek Carr.
He did.
He wanted Derek Carr.
He wanted to get that done.
Now, but the owner rules, and he's a young coach, third year, going into his third year. Woody Johnson's going to get his way on this. But
he's the owner. You're right.
This is another example of the owner pushing for Aaron Rodgers when the coaches would have preferred Derek Carr at 31 years old to come in and run the show. Bring that leadership. Because the one thing you know with Derek Carr, he's not going to bring drama.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is going to bring drama. He'll be the center of attention. I mean, Aaron Rodgers in the Big Apple. I mean,
that's what Woody likes.
Yeah.
Woody likes that.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Woody's like Jerry. I want him to be in the post or whatever every day.
Well, and look, we'll see where this Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers story goes. But, you know, let me ask you this. I mean, where are you on the camp of Lamar Jackson's future? Because we see a lot of texts from people.
Be back with the Ravens.
We hear a lot of, but I'm talking about the future of his performance as a player. I mean, there was a 2-year stretch, 2019 and 20, when he played two healthy seasons, where he threw 62 touchdowns over two seasons. Threw 62 touchdowns while running.
Yeah, I don't worry about
over 1,000 yards.
If he's got good receivers and he's got a good offensive line and a decent run game, I think he's just fine. I don't worry about his running. I worry about his running. I worry about what he does for a living.
Well, in the long haul,
or 17 games in the NFL.
And that's
Will he be there? Will he be there at playoff time? Will he be worn down?
Do you think he has the ability to lead a team to a Super Bowl?
Yes,
I do. With the right people around him.
Yes.
That means offensive line. That means wide receivers. Run. Things have to be kind of almost just right with him. But the dynamics of what he does for a living as a quarterback. puts him at too high of a risk for me. You know what I'm saying? In the long run, I'm just thinking that when you need him the most, he's going to be lame.
But I think, let me just say it this way. I believe that people are leaning on the last 2 years. 2021, he got hurt at the end of the year, but the entire team was hurt, if you remember, right? They were a really good team. They lost their top three running backs in training camp. Every player on the team.
So they don't even make it to the first game half the time.
Got hurt. And then, you know, this year we know they entered the season with a bunch of holes, and then Lamar Jackson got hurt. But if you go back just to 2019 and 2020, when he threw for 62 touchdown passes and threw for nearly, 6,000 yards and rushed for over 1,000 yards in both seasons and was a complete video game freak, are we already saying that Lamar Jackson can't get back to that? On the right team with the right group of players around him? I am really shocked at some of the tweets and texts and conversation we've had this week where Lamar Jackson is shot as a player at 26 who just 3 years ago was putting up historically great numbers.
Yeah, I love him having these great numbers, but I need him for the stretch. I need him for not just the season stretch,
agreed,
but for the next year and the following year. What he does that makes him dynamic is also the thing that can get him crushed and crush your hopes as an organization. Are you willing to take that chance?
I guess what I'm saying is, what I've been shocked by is this. I'm not sitting here carrying the mail for Lamar Jackson. I'm just arguing.
Well, I don't believe all that he can't throw stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like people have already said, he's not getting offered contracts because he's not any good. Well, what do you mean he's not any good? I mean, what have we been watching with this guy? He is, at full health on a good team, one of the three or four most impactful players in the league.
No doubt.
And so but now it's like, oh, no, he's not any good. It's over. He can't throw. I don't want a running quarterback. Well, Jalen Hurts is a running quarterback. Justin Fields is a running quarterback. I mean, this is where the league's going. The league's moving to that direction more than it's going the other way right now.
It still never worked, though, in 57 Super Bowls.
I will tell you.
Never been a runner. That's 1-1. And I know CB said yesterday that Russell Wilson.
He was both.
But he still has that Drew Brees, accurate ability.
And the thing that's making Jalen Hurts so dynamic is he's becoming both, right? He can run and kill you with his legs.
And Lamar Jackson slowly but surely has been doing all those things to be an accurate quarterback. And he works hard. He's a hard worker. He does that. But he's not surrounded by great talent.
Well,
like you said, there's been some.
That's my question with Lamar, is that how much of the last two seasons can you blame on the organization, injuries, and lack of weapons around him? I think those are fair debates.
I blame it on they've had some misfortune before the season even starts with guys getting hurt.
Yeah.
Like the running back from Ohio. I mean, they get hurt before they even start.
Right.
They're not healthy. They don't start the season out healthy.
And then he's been hurt at the end.
Then he gets hurt at the end. Yeah.
So I get that. And that's what makes it a great debate. But I'm not of the belief you just throw this guy out and he's not any good.
Oh, no.
I mean, Daniel Jones just got $160 million. Are you kidding me? Kyler Murray.
If your Texans decided to get Lamar Jackson, I'd be, yes, go.
Well, when you were out Wednesday, I argued that.
Go for it.
My only – because the Texans – let me just present the Texans argument again. Houston has two first-round picks this year and two next year.
Yes.
They have 2 and 12 this year. They could give up two of those four, sign Lamar Jackson, have a 26-year-old quarterback, and still have first-round picks each of the next 2 years and start to build around Lamar Jackson. The only reason I have argued against it is that if they hit on Bryce Young or they hit on C.J. Stroud, now you've got a young quarterback on a rookie contract, which I think is a really, fruitful thing.
Now you really can build your team.
Yeah, now you can build your team. But you got to hit on that quarterback. And the one thing about Lamar Jackson is he's more of a proven commodity than anybody coming into this draft.
True.
But it's, I think it's a good debate.
And once again, guys.
I guess I've been surprised how little people think of Lamar Jackson. It's like, really?
Well, they don't think he's a thrower. No, he's not a scrub.
Well, he led the NFL in passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He threw 62 in two seasons.
He's got to have more than just a tight end
yards,
to throw
though.
To.
He threw for 3,100. Okay.
I've just seen a text that said he's only thrown for over 3,000 yards one time.
That's correct. But he also ran for over 1,000 yards in those seasons.
And I'm not saying that he's a bum or he sucks. I'm just saying it takes it just like Justin Fields and just like Jalen Hurts. You got to put the perfect situation around him for him to succeed. He's never going to elevate an offense on his own. Which he's shown because, he hasn't had much.
I would say the start would be a place like the Jets with the young receivers.
Well, that's
like
right.
That.
I mean, that's the argument for New York. Big Apple, you got young talent.
You and I can want him, but Woody's not. Woody wants somebody. Woody wants a guy who's going to be savvy with the media. He wants that. Well, he wants that in New York City.
Aaron Rodgers savvy with the media?
Well, he's going to be in the media. I mean, he's going to be in the newspaper.
I guess I'm more of a Lamar fan. And I don't, I mean, I, you said it's never happened in any Super Bowl, but I mean, Russell Wilson ran, Cam Newton got his team there, Jalen Hurts had his team there at the precipice of a Super Bowl, and I think the league's moving more to that than away from that. It's going to happen, and we're a quarterback who runs wins a Super Bowl. That's going to be in the future, in the near time.
Dude, I call our guy at Kansas City, I call him a running quarterback.
And he needs to.
Well, he can go.
And Patrick Mahomes is at a whole different level, and that's the thing.
I mean, this guy
may dominate the Super Bowls for the foreseeable future, as good as he is.
Maybe he just knows how to
escape. Okay, say there's a minute and a half left in the game, though, and you're on your own 20, and you got to score. Like, I don't trust Lamar Jackson to be able to
get the ball
down the
field. I trust him more than I trust Dak Prescott.
I mean, they're about on the same level to me. I still trust Dak more as a passer. He's been a more prolific passer his entire career.
Dak Prescott's been in that exact scenario twice in a row and hadn't been able to move his team down the field. Fair. Two straight years in the playoffs, winnable game, need a drive, couldn't give it to you. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's worth more than Dak Prescott for me as far as a quarterback contract would go. But that's the great debate, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, NFL. We'll come back. We'll talk more Texas football. Also, here's another story hitting the newsstands that the Big 12 is ready to pounce on the four corner schools out of the Pac-10 as doubt creeps in about the Pac-12's viability. We'll get you details. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
What is that, T.Y.?
Oh, ABBA.
Oh, the reboot?
Is that the new ABBA? ABBA?
Is it ABBA or ABBA? What do we go with?
ABBA.
ABBA, okay. That's a B&E fact of the day. It's ABBA, not ABBA. And that is that a new one or a classic?
It's a classic.
Hey, some other B&E facts of the day. Doesn't look like Kevin Durant's going to play again in the regular season in the NBA. That's all right. They brought him there for the postseason.
True.
Twisted his ankle, and he's going to be out 3 weeks. And, of course, the regular season wraps up coming up in April, and they'll be into the postseason.
Kevin needs to get to fall school, too. That's a weird injury.
Yeah,
in your little warm-up.
I can relate. I'm clumsy. I did that. I've done that many times. Just roll the ankle. Not good.
Like I said, it won't matter. They'll be rolling him out in a wheelchair shooting three-pointers 20 years from now.
It's Tom Brady day.
I know.
Also, on a fact of the day, the Longhorns will have their third practice this morning, 8 o'clock, over at the fields on 35 there, the Denius Fields. And it's also a fact now that Cedric Baxter Jr., the Longhorn freshman running back, he's going to go by CJ. So we can start calling him CJ Baxter.
I like that.
CJ Baxter. That's the official term. It's on the roster now.
Because I'll be calling him freshman dude forever.
CJ.
Like I call the other guy who's there, Brooks, I call him hernia guy.
Jonathan.
Hernia guy.
You just go to the worst case for every play, like Jim Boeheim, murderer.
Well, hernia guy. He's got surgery, right?
Matt Stafford. Great quarterback, great dude, father.
Tripper.
Threw that lady off the stage.
He tripped her.
Jonathan Brooks, you know, player of the
hernia
year.
Hernia guy.
Hernia guy.
The other guy, Jaden Blue, don't know. Haven't seen him play before.
Mystery. Enigma.
Yeah. Enigma guy.
No, what is it? A mirage.
Yeah, but I believe with the young freshman, what is it? CJ, what is it now?
CJ Baxter.
CJ Baxter. CJ. I think him being integrated in with Brooks is going to be an awful lot of fun. Because I like Brooks. I think his coach is going to get more out of him than you think. He runs big. I think he makes really good cuts. I think he's got outstanding speed. He can run away from you. I truly believe he can get it. I mean, once he gets out, you can't catch up to him. He's big and strong enough. And plus, another year with this offensive line, I don't know if they're going to run more. I don't see it.
But I think they'll
be
able to.
But I still
think they can run effectively because I think if Steve Sarkisian's number one offseason goal offensively is achieved, and that's making the passing game better, then that's going to make, you know, defenses have to play back more. And boy, if you scenario of having, you know, Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, and Isaiah Nair or Jordan Whittington in a three-receiver set with Jadeveon Sanders and a more experienced quarterback and more confident quarterback in Quinn Ewers, defense, who are you going to double? I mean, defenses are going to have to play safeties back, which if your offensive line is improved as you anticipate, with just experience and another year in the weight room and you know, whatever, well, now all of a sudden your run game without the dynamic backs is –
well, I mean,
defense just have to honor the passing game.
Yeah, I thought Whittington should have carried the ball as a ball carrier more last year. If you weren't going to find ways to get it to him, you know, those short screens, let him go in fly motion, give him the ball. I mean, that's not everything has to be 20-yard runs, you know?
Agreed. Well,
I mean, he's a tough runner. I believe he can be just as effective, you know,
Well, I think in the wake
in your toss
of the
sweep game,
in the revelation of the Xavier Worthy hand injury, it further indicts Steve Sarkisian as he continued to treat Xavier Worthy as the same player with a broken hand instead of doing some of the things you're saying, using Jordan Whittington more, featuring other players more often. You got a guy with a broken hand.
Plus, I believe now, they got a running back coach. If they have a hot player, I mean, I know they that whole thing with Bijan and Roshan, it's almost like you felt like you had to give Roshan a bunch of these carries. I believe if they get a hot hand guy, even if he's a freshman, if Cedric Baxter is that guy, that, you know, that commodity guy, that freshman out there in the nation, I believe if he gets on a roll, you just keep him on a roll.
They don't need to worry about hurting anyone's feelings.
Thank you. Okay,
no.
That's it. I would agree. And
staff is gone. I think that was Tom Herman. I don't know if it was just his idea of rotation or keeping people happy or whatever, but Steve Sarkisian's a believer in, you know, if you're my best player, you're going to be my best player. If you win that spot on the depth chart, and that would go back to Xavier Worthy. If Xavier Worthy had a hurt hand, but he said he can go, he going. Which I, you know, there's criticism there, but there's also, okay, and you're my guy. So, you know, I believe whoever earns that starting running back job, the RB1, is going to get a majority of the carries, and they'll split the rest.
But the hot RB, the guy who's in there, if he's hot, okay, you just let me ride with you, whether you're a freshman or not. If you make some outstanding plays, continue to make those plays.
Now, does the same thing go for the quarterback position if Quinn struggles and –
I don't want to play rolling quarterbacks. I would think by
well, if Quinn Screw Yours looked like next year, like he did in some of the games this year.
Well, no,
then I think you might have to consider because I still think they could have won two more games if Hudson Card gets an opportunity in some of the second halves of the games where it felt like the world was going way too fast for Quinn Yours.
I just hope this team offensively just figures it out and wins those games that they should have been winning last year.
Sure, that's a fair point,
Coach.
Also,
figure it
on
out.
The B&E fact of the day. The WWE, which you and I, neither of us watch wrestling. Ty, do you watch wrestling?
No.
That's all for three then. But they're reportedly exploring ways to legalize betting on high-profile wrestling matches.
On the drama?
The fix is in.
I mean, I know there people think the NFL is scripted, but come on. This is scripted. We know it is.
I don't know how you do that.
Vegas would never take the bets. Somebody knows the script. Somebody wrote the script.
Somebody would be sleeping with the fishes there.
Come on,
that's
man.
What's going to happen there.
You think Vegas would ever take those bets?
No.
There's no way. No way.
I can't see it.
All right, more B&E facts of the day coming, including Rory McIlroy, your pick to win the Players, not having a good day yesterday. Rory shot 6-76. Also,
I didn't even know he was actually playing yesterday. I was asking my wife. I said, Rory, I don't see his name in here anymore.
76.
Oh.
12 back. 12 back of the leader. You've never heard
We got to make his run today.
Also, we'll get to the performances of the UT players at Pro Day yesterday, Pro Timing Day. Plus more on this Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers debate, Longhorn basketball into the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. We are loaded on a great Friday.